So there was a line in President Obama's State of the Union address this year, I'm sure you heard it, that sounded confident but also a bit defensive about America's place in the world. Listen.
From the coalitions we've built to secure nuclear materials, to the missions we've led against hunger and disease, from the blows we've dealt our enemies, to the enduring power of our moral example, America is back. Anyone who tells you otherwise, anyone who tells you that America is in decline or that our influence has waned, doesn't know what they're talking about.
President Obama in his State of the Union speech there. The narrative of American decline has been in play since the debacle in Vietnam. The Reagan Revolution was in part a refutation of that decline narrative. And with the end of the Cold War and the evaporation of the Soviet Union, there was suddenly no argument for American decline. But it has returned now with the rise of China, with some of the complicated and regretful foreign policy decisions of the U.S. in the past decade. Do people who speak of American decline really not know what they're talking about, though? Joining us now is former State Department official and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, Robert Kagan. His new book is called The World America Made. He joins us today from his home in Virginia. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So you write in your book, and it's a pretty interesting premise, that the world history is filled with this dynamic, that the prevailing moral and political norms of any given era are set by the most powerful nations or empires of that region, and the case is true with the United States today. Explain.
Well, if you think about a lot of the things that we tend to take for granted about the international system, the widespread democracy, for instance, there were only 10 democracies in 1941. Today there's 115. The international economic order, which is basically an open market, open trade order, and the lack of war among great powers, which used to be the norm throughout history, all those things, they didn't just occur. They're not just some product of human evolution. They really are the product of a system that's been undergirded by American power since World War II. And if American power does decline, we'll probably see the end of that order and the beginning of some other order.
Now, how do you tease out the impact of American values in that dynamic from other phenomena like, you know, for instance, the proliferation of industrialized nations, the $6 billion planet or the 6 billion person planet, for instance? Those are phenomena that also have a real impact on the ability to conduct great power wars and to, you know, do the kinds of things that, you know, might get in the way of a free market economy.
No, there's no question. I mean, there's more going on than the United States. I don't deny that for a second. It's just that if you look at if you look at past history on the issue of great power war, most multipolar eras have been warlike eras. You know, the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries, early 20th century. When you have a lot of roughly equal powers, they tend to be competing, testing, probing. One of the things that has just been true about this period has been the overwhelming power of the United States, which has actually, I think, created a lot of stability. The economic order, which the United States supports, is also fairly rare in human history, and it does reinforce the notion of peace. It does reinforce peace because of the interdependence that's created. But if you pull out this key element, this role that the United States has played, not exclusively, but importantly, if you pull out that key element, some of these things can go by the wayside, as they have in the past. The early 20th century was also a period of rising democracy and rising economic liberalism, and it was destroyed after World War I and wasn't resurrected until the United States became predominant after World War II.
And you write very compellingly about that moment, that really that was the sort of peak moment, the beginning of the decline of the British Empire that had dominated and set political norms in Europe, and suddenly the more competitive stance of Britain vis-a-vis Germany and France created the environment where the the tinderbox was ready to be lit, and World War I completely changed Europe forever. Are we approaching a moment like that in our sort of return to a bipolar world with China, perhaps?
Well, I don't think we're really as close to that as some people think. China has enormous obstacles to overcome before we could come anything close to having a bipolar world. The United States really continues to enjoy enormous advantages, one of which is geography. We're not surrounded by any major power that threatens us, whereas the Chinese are surrounded by a number of major powers: Japan, India, Korea, Southeast Asia, Australia, all of whom happen to be close friends of the United States. And when China makes a move that makes them nervous, for instance, in the South China Sea, they all look to the United States for support. That creates a difficult challenge for China rising to become anything like an equal of the United States.
And Russia's in the picture there, too. It's very, very interesting. There's also an argument to be made here, and you sort of make it in the book that, democracies, the proliferation of democracies in the world seems to have peaked. It's slipping back a little bit now. What if your book, The World America Made, could be retitled, America's Peak, It's All Downhill From Here? Are you really describing the peak of America, or is there more to come?
Well, that's a good question. And, we can, choose to play a lesser role in the world. We can, in a way, choose decline by cutting back on our power, cutting back on our involvement in the world. But my argument in the book is it's not necessary for us to do that. At some point, of course, the American order is going to end. But whether it ends in a decade or in 100 years makes a very big difference. I still think the United States is in a very good position to continue playing the role that it's played. It has a lot of influence, more than anybody else, militarily, economically, and politically, and in terms of soft power, as people often discuss. And frankly, I'm glad to see that the president, has himself taken that view, because I think a lot of people thought when he came to office that he thought his job was to manage American decline, but he seems to have rejected that. And I think based on his own experience traveling around the world and seeing what's going on.
And so on the way out, this is more than just something to make speeches about. The U.S. should tangibly take advantage of this notion that the decline is overstated?
Well, I think we should always, instead of sort of being resigned to decline, we should take advantage of opportunities to shore up this world, which has been so fundamentally in America's interest and, I would argue, in the interest of most of the world. I mean, China itself has benefited tremendously from this order that the United States has established.
Robert Kagan, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, author of the fascinating new book, The World America Made. He joined us from Virginia. Robert Kagan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.